for some football.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Welcome to the FTN DataCast, the fantasy football podcast where data drives the discussion. Here are your hosts, Adam Pfeiffer and Tyler Lochner.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back once again to the FTN DataCast, presented, of course, by the FTN Network. It is Monday, May the 16th. Adam Pfeiffer here with Tyler Lochner, as usual. Today, we are beginning our positional previews, starting with the quarterback position. We'll go quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, and kind of break down, you know, at least in quarterback, we're going to go through some tiers, talk about some players, you know, go through the position, you know, maybe some strategy and all that great stuff. So it'll be a fun show. Tyler, what's up, man? How was your weekend?
It was great. I feel like we're in a little bit of a weird spot for NFL because you get so hyped for the draft and then the draft ends and you're like, all right, the season's here. The season's almost here. And then a couple of weeks later, you realize like you still have a long way to go.
So, well, we had schedule day, which I did not take part of because
I do not participate in that. I'm actually kind of happy to hear you don't either.
I just like, I have no problem if you do, it's exciting, but I don't know, man. Breaking down it from a fantasy perspective because like I don't know who's playing for what teams in, you know, October, December, whatever. Like I use the same kind of comparison. We'll get into the quarterbacks in a second, but like this time last season, we were looking at the Ravens, like, oh, I don't want to play receivers and quarterbacks against the Ravens, and then half their secondary is completely hurt and missing the whole season, and all of a sudden, they're like the top team to throw against. Joe Burrow throws for 500 yards multiple times, etc. So we just don't know yet. And I like it's maybe the beginning of the season, you can kind of look at schedule. I'm fine with that, but I don't look much into it. Maybe a tiebreaker at best if you're comparing two players.
Yeah. I like it just for like getting excited for certain primetime games, but
yeah, it was cool to see some of the primetime games, like the Bills, Rams, dude, to start the season.
The Lions, obviously, the NFL does not agree with my take that the Lions are a sleeper team because they gave them zero primetime games.
Define primetime because they get to host the Bills on Thanksgiving, which
they put that game at like 11 a.m. Eastern time or something like
that. Game's gonna be fun too because Bills fan, obviously, my brother's a Bills fan. My mom's a Lions fan, so she said she wanted to go to like the game one year. I'm like, let's go. And she's like, no. I'm like, oh, okay. Now you don't want to go. I get it. Let's get into the quarterbacks, though. Breaking down, again, we're going to go quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end. And just kind of breaking down the position, what stands out. We'll go through some tiered rankings to see where players kind of slide in. But before we do, like, it's kind of simple how you can view the quarterback position, right? It's just every year it's like, oh, there's 15, 16, 17 quarterbacks you're completely fine starting on a given week in fantasy. And I don't think it's much change, especially if, and we'll talk about this, I imagine, too, especially if the second year quarterbacks take that next step. I mean, the position can just be like 20 plus players deep by the end of the season.
Yeah. This year in particular, too, because like relevant players that we added are Joe Burrow, Deshaun Watson, is probably coming back. Matthew Stafford, we have a lot more confidence in. Derek Carr got Davante Adams. And then it's obviously top heavy. I'm sure we're going to talk about the guys at the top. But yeah, honestly, it's a great year for quarterback. But that's not to say that it's a boring position because there is legitimate strategy in drafting one of the top tier quarterbacks. You know, I've always been a proponent of waiting on quarterbacks, and that's typically what I do. It's just my draft strategy has evolved that way over the years. But I mean, Josh Allen, Mahomes, Herbert, Jack, like there's really good quarterbacks at the top that are actually worth spending solid fantasy draft capital on. So I'm sure we'll talk about that, but yeah, it's a deep position, but it's not one that you necessarily, you know, just have to punt as a result.
So let's get into tier number one. You have Josh Allen in a tier of his own. I don't think we have to ask if I do. I'll just let you go on Josh Allen because I could sit here and talk about Josh Allen for 20 minutes, and I will if I don't get in the way of that. So talk about Josh Allen. I mean, the leap he's taken in the last 2 years, and he's been the quarterback one in fantasy each of the last two seasons. So as low as the position is, it seems pretty easy, especially with some of the moves that have happened across the NFL, where Josh Allen should be. If he's not in a tier of his own, he should at least be the quarterback one for most people, I would imagine.
Yeah, I definitely think you have to put him as the quarterback one. The real question is, you know, is he your quarterback one in Dynasty? I think the answer is probably yes. But you know, Mahomes and Herbert, I think also have cases there. But in redraft, I don't think Burrow's in that tier for Dynasty.
That's fair.
Maybe he is, but I don't think so. I'm actually a little bit lower on Burrow than others. Hold on. I'm just going to say, Adam knows my tiers. I shared my tier list before. I have no idea what his tier list is. So it's a little bit of a mystery box for me. So I take it you have Allen in a tier of his own.
I have him actually in tier zero. It's ahead of one. That's how, how good. No, he's tier one by himself as well.
To be fair, you have to pay for it. I think the market agrees with us too. You have to spend. His ADP on Underdog right now is 23.8.
Yeah, dude, I've been drafting Stefon Diggs really in every Underdog draft I do, and it's like you can't stack him unless you take Josh Allen on the turn, because Stefon Diggs goes in between like 1.8 and like 1.11.
And maybe that's why his ADP is so high. You have to
stack him you have to stack him in that next selection in the second round, or you're not getting the stack, which you don't have to do, but maybe his ADP is very high.
Yeah, maybe that's why Allen's ADP is a little bit higher. But his ADP is over a full round than any other quarterback. So I would say that the market agrees with him being QB1 overall over the last 2 years since he really broke out. And I actually would argue that he broke out like late 2019.
Agreed.
But just going back to the beginning of 2020, he has averaged 28 fantasy points per game. He has scored more than 35 fantasy points in 10 games. And he has never finished, I know this is a very low bar, but in that span, he has never finished worse than QB24. I know that's an extremely low bar, but we're talking about like a really high floor, the highest ceiling. I don't think any quarterback has a higher ceiling than him. He's topped 40 points 3 times. He's come extremely close to it a few other times. Yeah, he's been the QB1 overall the last 2 years. You know, you think back 3 years ago when Lamar Jackson went, you know, nutty, right? Won MVP, unanimous vote. Did he end up breaking Mike Vick's rushing record?
I think he did.
Jackson went crazy. Allen actually scored more points than Jackson did that year. The very following year. And I don't think he has received, I don't think he received like quite the same level of hype. Not to say Allen's not hyped, but that just goes to show how good he has been. He has been a legitimate league winner at the quarterback position, which is not something that we see very often. So that's why I have him in a tier of his own.
Yeah, and like Josh Allen last season ran for at least 40 yards in 11 games. He continues to score, you know, anywhere between like 6 and 10 rushing touchdowns. He's been top 5 among quarterbacks inside the 5 carries each of the last 3 seasons. I believe he was second to Jalen Hurts, another quarterback.
Those goal line rushes are so valuable.
And like, we've heard rumblings, okay, maybe they want to limit his rushing. Maybe they do for 2 weeks. I just don't see it happening. It's such a huge part of their offense. Josh Allen's been among the top 5 players at the quarterback position in deep attempts. Here's the other thing, though. Josh Allen, as good as he's been, as elite as he's been, both as a passer and, you know, overall fantasy quarterback, just everything. You look at his like production from this offense. We have, again, a ton of awesome. This is a huge part of the podcast, right? Plugging and talking about some of these advanced stats we have at FTN Fantasy. But looking at the advanced passing stats, I was really curious, knowing this Bills offense in and out, how often or what percentage of yards Allen got off, you know, after the catchability, because it's something this offense has lacked. As good as they've been, they don't have a ton of players that are really good in terms of yak. Last season, Josh Allen, 41% of his yards came after the catch. Only Lamar Jackson and Justin Fields were lower. So, like, you bring in James Cook, who they like as a receiving back that can make plays after the catch. They bring in Khalil Shakir. They bring in some other players that can do more after the catch. I think that's going to make Josh Allen's job even easier. So yeah, the floor is massive. The ceiling's massive. The offense, the only concern I have is if they're as pass heavy with Brian Daboll gone, But again, Ken Dorsey's been there. He's been working with Josh Allen for years. So this offense is still going to cater to Buffalo's strengths, which, as much as I love Devin Singletary, the strength of this offense is obviously putting the ball in Josh Allen's hands. And he still has an elite alpha wide receiver in Stephon Diggs. Let's go to tier number two, because Josh Allen, tier number one by himself, or both of us. Who do you have in tier number two?
All right, my tier two has Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, and Lamar Jackson. What about you?
I almost put Lamar and Herbert in a tier of their own, and then Mahomes in the next tier. I think the Chiefs, like Tyreek Hill, we'll talk about it. Like Tyreek Hill is a huge loss, obviously. But I think they have enough skill players for Mahomes to still be really good, right? Like maybe not Josh Allen level good. And in my own rankings, like I have Mahomes behind Herbert and Jackson. I have Mahomes fourth and Jackson third, or just Jackson second and Herbert third. But I do believe they're in the same tier. So I have the same exact tier as you for tier number two. There's players you could have put in there. Like I think Jalen Hurts, we'll talk about, could be in this discussion. If Kyler had DeAndre Hopkins for the first 6 weeks, maybe, but that's enough to make this tier just yep. Jackson, Mahomes, and Herbert for me. So, let's talk about Mahomes first. Like not the consensus QB1 like he had been. But not enough worry from you or myself to take him out of the second tier, even without Tyreek Hill no longer in Kansas City.
Yeah, like you, I considered it because Hill's departure hurts Mahomes, obviously, but I don't think it's like the same level of pain as Aaron Rodgers gets from losing Devontae Adams. I know yeah. Hill was highly targeted, close to 10 targets per game. Obviously, the deep connection with Mahomes was there, even though Hill was really utilized a little bit more underneath, but he still has Travis Kelce, who is the best tight end in the league right now. And Mahomes, I don't know if he's going to use it, but he does have the ability to run, not at Josh Allen's level, but it seems like every time he plays in a playoff game, he has 50 rushing yards and he can score rushing touchdowns. So I'm not sure he ends up using that, but the fact that it's there makes him a threat. And the fact that he does occasionally use it. And Andy Reid is still there, and I have a lot of confidence in Andy Reid's ability to design the offense around the players that they have. So, yes, I'm more nervous about Mahomes than I was before. Or I wasn't nervous about Mahomes at all when they still had Tyreek Hill, and there's a little bit of nerves there, but I do think that he's clearly a strong enough player, and I agree with you that there's enough talent around him. One Mahomes stat that I found that I thought was really interesting. Obviously, he pops in a lot of stats, but this one in particular, last year, Mahomes had the highest completion percentage against the blitz at 73.8%. And that was actually the second, and it was also the highest difference in completion percentage between, you know, total completion percentage and completion percentage against the blitz. I want to dig into that a little bit more to see how often Tyreek Hill was targeted on those passes. But if someone like Travis Kelce was the higher target, then I think Mahomes is not hurt by Tyreek's departure in terms of blitz coverage quite as much. But that's just a hypothesis, so I got to look into that a little bit more. But interesting to see that he ranked first with that stat.
Then you have Lamar Jackson and Justin Herbert. Lamar Jackson missed some time last year. I think he played 12 games, but, despite playing 12 games, was still, second among all quarterbacks in rushing attempts, 133, averaged over 11 per game. That led the league, 64 rushing yards per game. We haven't talked about this much. We talked about it, I think, from the Arizona perspective when we last were on the pod. But losing Hollywood Brown, Hollywood Brown wasn't just a field stretcher, especially, the last year and a half. His rookie season, he was like 5-6 targets per game. But like last year, you talked about it. The amount of targets he saw, it was massive.
Top 10.
So right now, I personally think we see Julio, Will Fuller, one of these receivers sign there. I don't know if they're going to go into the season. Yes, Mark Andrews is one of the best players in football. But I don't know if they're going to want to go into the season with Rashad Bateman, Devin Duvernay, as their 1-2 punch at receiver. James Prochet. Like, I don't think that's what they're going to do. But still, I mean, we know what Lamar's weekly floor is. And he's fallen a little bit after the injury last season and missing time and other players at the quarterback position getting pushed up. I have a lot of interest in Lamar, and I think he absolutely belongs in this tier 100%. And if there's somebody to, you know, dethrone Josh Allen as a QB1 in fantasy, Lamar's right up there for me. It's somebody that can
definitely
easily do it.
Definitely, definitely. The only, I think I wrote the tier, the likelihood to be the fantasy QB1, and Jackson was in the tier with Allen, the tier one of likelihood to be overall fantasy QB1. In defense of Jackson not having much right now outside of Bateman and Mark Andrews, Mahomes was the best fantasy quarterback, maybe aside from Josh Allen, over the last 4 years, with really only Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. So I think an elite wide receiver and an elite tight end is more than enough for a quarterback to be really productive for fantasy, especially when you add in Jackson's rushing upside. I know Bateman's not as good as Tyreek Hill, but just throwing it out there that two very good weapons is more than enough. I like your idea there of Will Fuller signing.
I prefer Julio, but I think one of them has a great likelihood of landing there. Like, the Ravens are always, they've been linked to receivers with Hollywood Brown on the roster. So I think he could easily, Julio Fuller could easily go there. I think there's only been two games since 2019 where Lamar hasn't played with Hollywood Brown. And in those two games, obviously small sample, 27 fantasy points per game. Like, still really
still good.
Again, it's a very small sample, but Hollywood Brown, like, really talented player, doesn't really move the needle for me, like, to where I'd move Lamar down or up. I think Bateman didn't play the beginning of his rookie season. He'll be more prepared. You have Mark Andrews. The only thing I worry about more so with Lamar, not even with Lamar because his floor is so high, but more so with Herbert, talented, elite quarterback already. You have Keenan Allen. You have Mike Williams. You have Austin Eckler. Their defense is really good. And I know we say this like each of the last three seasons and then half their team suffers injuries, but like that pass rush with Khalil Mack and Bosa, you have JC Jackson and Derwin James in the secondary. But at the same time, we also expect a lot of shootouts in the AFC West. So I think Herbert's like ceiling isn't as high as Allen or Lamar. I think it's right on par probably with Mahomes. But like we've also seen Justin Herbert can throw for 400, but can also run for 80. Like, he had a game against Pittsburgh last year. We ran for like 90 yards or something. So
yeah.
Thoughts on Herbert real quick before we go to the next tier.
Yeah. I like Herbert in the tier two grouping. I think of these players, he's the one I would rank fourth behind Allen, Mahomes and Jackson. But dating back to 2020, Herbert's rookie year, he's actually tied with Josh Allen and with weeks as a fantasy quarterback one. So his floor as a weekly fantasy producer is actually there with Allen, but yeah, he doesn't have the weekly threat of scoring two rushing touchdowns. He, like you said, he can run, but Allen obviously is much more of a threat to score and score multiple times. So that's really the only thing holding Herbert out of that tier one for me, because his cast, like you mentioned, is really, really elite.
Yep. Offensive line's been getting better each year, and they added that to the draft on top of everything else they added on this team. So I think Herbert's going to be fantastic. I wouldn't be surprised if by the end of the season he's in the running for MVP. He's in a great spot. He's a great player. All right, let's go to tier number three. And this is where we're going to start seeing, I would imagine, you know, more players in each tier, right? We had one in tier one, three in tier two, but so far our tiers are in lockstep. It'll be interesting to see if things change here in tier three. Who do you have in tier three?
All right. My tier three has six players: Kyler Murray, Joe Burrow, Dak Prescott, Deshaun Watson with a little asterisk, obviously not there if he doesn't play, Tom Brady and Jalen Hurts.
Okay. So for my tier three, I have Hurts. I have Hurts, Burrow, and Brady. Kyler, Dak, and Watson I struggle with, because if you told me Watson was playing the whole year, he'd probably be in this tier.
Yeah.
I know you love Dak, so I'm going to let you talk about Dak. I have some concerns. Obviously, no Cooper. Like, week one, their starting offense will be Zeke and Pollard, CeeDee Lamb, Dalton Schultz, and Jalen Tolbert, assuming Gallup's not ready. Like, that's not great. Their offensive line quietly is, you know, they're still a top 12 unit, but they're quietly nowhere near close to what they were a couple years ago. So I have Dak closer to like QB 10 or so, if I'm not mistaken. But I know you love Dak. I know you were on team Dak for MVP at a certain point last season. Dak's a great player. I just think his ceiling isn't as high as some of the other players. Talk to me on Dak, though.
Do you know Dak had more, because he missed some games, but he finished as a fantasy quarterback one a higher percentage of time than Josh Allen last year. Yeah, I know you're going to have a hard time believing that, but it's true. So yeah, he doesn't have as high of a ceiling, obviously, as all the players we've talked about. And I agree with you that losing Amari Cooper is significant. If Michael Gallup is not the same player or not on the field for a significant amount of time, that also hurts Dak. So yeah, there's some concern with him leading into this year, but the players you mentioned, CeeDee Lamb, Dalton Schultz, Tony Pollard, Ezekiel Elliott, still a good offensive line, a defense, in my opinion, that is going to be at least decent this year. I still like Dak as a tier three player. I don't think I'm on the Dak for MVP train next year. I think with Amari Cooper gone, the hopes of them just throwing the ball like 40 times a game are out the window. But I don't know what it was about Dak last year, but he didn't have those ceiling games. I know that he didn't run the ball nearly as much, and I wish I could say that would change, but I don't necessarily think that's going to in 2022. I think that broken leg that he suffered a couple of years ago may have permanently removed that weekly rushing upside.
He was so hesitant to scramble. It was clearly on his mind. Like, there were times where like he had an opportunity to just step up and run and he hesitated. And then instead of getting like 8 yards on the first, he'd get three and it'd be third or fourth down. It was very strange.
It happened all the time. So I don't know if that will change now that he has a year of playing with it under his belt or if that's just gone, but he did still have plenty of goal line rushes and quarterback sneaks. And I can think of two instances off the top of my head, and there might have been more, where Prescott like very clearly scored a touchdown, but Dallas,
I know exactly what you're thinking of.
They didn't challenge, or the refs didn't overturn it for some reason. And this is not just like my Dak bias talking. Like, he very clearly had multiple rushing touchdowns that were just overturned or not called touchdowns. So I do think he sees positive regression on that front next year. But yeah, I mean, I'm biased for Dak. I love Dak. Dak MVP 2021 never materialized, but it should have. I just think that he still has a strong enough supporting cast. Really, the only question will be, does Dallas just go like crazy run heavy again? Like, it was kind of infuriating that they had CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup, and even Cedric Wilson was pretty good last year, and they like just didn't let Dak throw it 40 times a game. They might not do that again. So yeah, there's concerns there, but I think that the fact that he was still such a good fantasy player last year, he was a fantasy QB1 in 69% of his games. He averaged nearly 24 fantasy points per game. It's still plenty good for him to land in tier three for me. Really, he only had like 1 month of a bad stretch. It was like November timeframe, weeks 11 through 15. He was only a fantasy quarterback one in one of five games, but every other game except for week two, he actually was a fantasy quarterback one.
So that was weeks 11 to 15, right?
Yep. That's when he was bad.
Amari Cooper missed two of those games.
Oh, well.
And I believe that was during the same stretch where CeeDee Lamb had the concussion, because he got concussed Thanksgiving. And then the two games Amari were out were COVID related.
Yep, you're right. And Thanksgiving was against the Raiders. So the next two games were among Dak's worst of the season.
But, you know, Lamb only missed the Raiders game. Right, well, he played week 13.
I don't have that in front of me.
Yeah, He got hurt in the Thanksgiving game, I believe, and then missed the rest of that game. But I think what's huge for Dak is making sure Dallas does have success running the football, because Dak Prescott, looking at our advanced stats, play action passing, Dak Prescott 72, so almost a 72% completion rate on play action. That was one of the highest marks in the NFL. So being able to have Zeke still run the football well, Tony Pollard as well, that's going to be good for Dak. And the other thing is, like, there were a lot of games where Dak didn't throw a lot. Dallas had an absurd, almost like totally unsustainable amount of defensive touchdowns last year. That's not happening this year. Like Trayvon Diggs is not getting 11 interceptions again, you know? So like those little things like that can add up. So for me, Dak and Matt Stafford, for instance, are very close. But the rest of this tier, right? Like I have, for my tier three, I have Burrow, Brady, Hurts. Kyler, I'm probably going to put in there, but it's really tough. What do you think? Like, the thing with Kyler I love is the fact that you have the obvious pace for the Cardinals offense, right? They went no huddle 35.8% of the time, according to our pace tool. That was the highest rate in the league by, you know, 6%. The Giants were next at 29%. So you have that, you know, great pace, which we love for fantasy. Kyler's, we talked about this with James Conner. Like, this time 2 years ago, Kyler was running in close a lot, and it started the season like that before Conner kind of broke out. They would have that patented, like, first and goal, second and goal. They'd go a bootleg play action, and Kyler would walk into the end zone. And then, as somebody that had Kyler on a lot of teams, I would just watch James Conner score from not just 2 yards out, but like 8 yards out and 7 yards out. It's like, oh, this is super tilting. Kyler now, we have, and then it was good to see him. He came back from the injury that game against Chicago and was running again, right? The rush attempts were up, which was great. I believe it was that one Saturday night game against the Colts where he had like a 60-yard run, so that was great to see. But now you have no DeAndre Hopkins, but now you have Marquise Brown. Like, is Marquise Brown going to generate the targets that Hopkins had been getting? Because prior to last season, they were massive, but then last year he was a touchdown dependent player. So what do we think of Kyler now with Hopkins? Again, it's not like he's missing the whole season. He'll just be out the first six games. But then you bring in Hollywood Brown. You have Zach Ertz back. You still have Rondale Moore. Like when this unit is whole, pretty talented offense.
What are they doing with AJ Green? I should know this, but
he re-signed.
All right, so
1 year deal. He's back.
That's right. And Zach Ertz is back.
AJ Green really wasn't that bad last year either.
No, he really wasn't. I was actually going to say that. So the first thing about Kyler, you mentioned when he returned from that injury, he was running again. And that is 100% true. His four leading games in terms of rushing yards last year were weeks 13, 14, 16, and 17. And actually his sixth best game from a rushing yard total was week 18. So yeah, the back half of the season when he was healthy again, he was running a lot more. So that gives me hope and faith that we see that 40 to 60 rushing yard weekly floor back for Kyler, which is really huge for his fantasy. As you know, if he doesn't have that, then he drops to tier four for me. So this is banking on that being there. I've written about this. We've talked about it. I 100% agree with you that the James Conner threat at the goal line is there. The only player, according to our advanced stats, the only player that had more goal line attempts than Conner last year was Jonathan Taylor.
Shocker.
Yeah, by like a mile. So is that sustainable? Unfortunately, yeah, it is. I mean, Conner might not score as many touchdowns, but he will probably get as many opportunities, if not more. So I do hate to say it, but the Kyler's rushing touchdown potential goes from like the 8 to 10 range to the 4 to 6 range. So basically cut in half. I still like him though. And you've been talking about Marquise Brown being added. To me, I just kind of look at that as like the Christian Kirk replacement. And that is a huge upgrade. I know Hollywood Brown struggled last year with drops. He had that one game where he dropped like three straight touchdowns. Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
But he is good. Yeah, I think he's better than people realize. He's capable of seeing almost 10 targets per game, and I actually think he probably ends up being as heavily targeted as DeAndre Hopkins while Hopkins is out. And then they add Hopkins halfway through September, or halfway through October, and Kyler's cooking again.
The James Conner thing's interesting. Like, he had 28 carries inside the 10 last year, converted 12 of them into touchdowns. So, like, over 40, almost 43% of his carries inside the 10 he scored on. Then inside the 5, he had 16 carries and converted 10 of those into touchdowns. So, like, he was insanely efficient.
Yeah, that is probably too high of a clip. But I do think, like, the 16 carries inside the 5 is completely realistic again.
Yeah, like, for instance, to compare him to some other running backs, Dalvin Cook had 12 carries inside the 5, scored 3 times on those carries. Dave Montgomery, 12 carries, 6 touchdowns inside the 5. Zeke was also 12 and 6. You know, that's just insane. Like, really, really. And Austin Eckler was way better as a goal line back this year. He was still only 12 and 7. So
here's a good, yeah, here's a good way to show the goal line carries, how crazy Connor was efficiency. Connor, you mentioned 18 goal line carries, 10 goal line touchdowns. Jonathan Taylor only had 2 more goal line touchdowns on 12 more goal line attempts.
It's just tough.
I'll say this. If Connor was not there, like if they kept Chase Edmonds and got rid of Connor, Kyler would be in tier 2 for me.
Totally fair. And I think the other thing with Kyler is, like, looking at the way this offense operates, I would have thought without looking at any numbers that Kyler would have been like bottom half of the league in deep passing, just because, like, so many of his attempts go to the middle of the field. They don't move DeAndre Hopkins around. But, like, you look at the deep passing numbers, Kyler Murray last season, let's see, 14.3% of his pass attempts went 20 yards or more down the field. That was a top 5 rate in the NFL. He completed 49.3% of those passes. Only Tua was higher, but as we talked about with Tua, it was low volume. Kyler had like 70 deep passing attempts last year, which was top in the NFL.
He was right ahead of Tom Brady. I know what stat you're talking about, and Tom Brady is right below him in that stat in terms of completion rate on deep balls.
Yeah, so like, you add Hollywood Brown to that, and if they get anything from Rondo Moore in this offense, like, Kyler could still be easily a top 5 quarterback. Absolutely. We'll see what he does in that first stretch of the season without DeAndre Hopkins. Let's close this out with this tier with Joe Burrow. I mean, so amazing last season. The thing with Burrow is, what type of regression are we expecting? Because Joe Burrow, I believe, led the NFL in ADOT, but also had like a 70% completion rate, led the NFL in completion rate. Like, it was insane what Joe Burrow did last year. 13.3% of his pass attempts went 20 yards or more. That was one of the higher rates in the NFL. He actually didn't have like the highest completion percentage, but his overall completion percentage was so high. He and Ja'Marr Chase led the NFL in vertical passing touchdowns as a duo. The offense is great. And we started to see, remember how run-heavy the Bengals were to start the season, and then they really opened up the second half season? They kind of did like the opposite of what the Eagles did. They started run-heavy with Joe Mixon, and he still got the rock, but then they started to go more pass-heavy the second half of the season. I'll get those exact numbers in a second. But man, I don't know if there's a better trio at receiver than the Bengals right now, and Joe Burrow, I mean, you want to talk about fitting in perfectly, Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, that you can't have a better. It's already one of the best 5 receiver quarterback tandems in the NFL.
I 100% agree. So I'll start by saying I have Burrow in tier 3. I think this is where he belongs. But I think his cost in fantasy right now is a little cost prohibitive. He's usually the 5th, 6th, maybe the 7th quarterback to come off the board. And I just think it's too expensive when you can wait and you can get Brady or Hurts or Prescott or sometimes even Murray. Mm-hmm. So that's not to say that I don't like Burrow.
He's in a tough range, man, because we'll talk about Hurts. Is he in this tier for us? We have to talk about Hurts.
We'll talk about Hurts next.
Like,
I just think you have to overspend for Burrow. That's not to say that I wouldn't be happy with Burrow. I just think you have to overspend for him. And yeah, you mentioned the regression and how much of it do we expect? I think we can definitely expect it for the deep balls and the deep ball touchdowns. You mentioned his 13.3 deep ball pass rate is among the highest, but it's not, you know, ridiculous. Like, Russell Wilson had 19% deep ball pass rate. But what is ridiculous for Burrow is he threw 13 touchdowns on 69 deep balls. Okay, Russell Wilson threw 10 on 76. And Russell Wilson is arguably the best deep ball passer in the league. Mm-hmm. What Burrow was able to do with Ja'Marr Chase in terms of deep touchdowns is it's just not going to happen again. I mean, they will still be one of the most prolific QB wide receiver tandems in terms of deep balls. It wouldn't surprise me if they led the league in deep ball touchdowns again. I just don't think it's going to be 13. I don't think it's going to be 30% more than any other QB wide receiver duo in the league. So that's just my concern, is just those splash plays are just not sustainable. And Burrow, I also don't think he would be being drafted as the QB6 if it wasn't for those two games at the end of the year when he scored like 40 fantasy points.
I think they're the Ravens games. Like, he's there for like 500 yards because they had no secondary.
The Chiefs and Ravens back to back. He was good all year. Well, not the beginning of the year. You mentioned they were run heavy. He was good. He was definitely a fantasy quarterback one, but he was not, you know, close to Justin Herbert or Kyler Murray or Tom Brady. Like, I just cannot wrap my head around drafting Burrow over Brady or Hurts.
Yeah, I was literally going to ask because Brady's in this tier too. You'd rather have Brady, because I would too.
I would rather have Brady.
The best thing for Burrow, though, I will say, they just completely revamped that offensive line. Ted Karras, Alex Kappa, and Lyle Collins. Like, Joe Burrow in the playoffs is under pressure like almost 40% of the time. That's huge for Joe Burrow. But real quick, first 8 weeks of season, Cincinnati called pass at about a 56.9% rate. That was 22nd in the NFL during that span. And then from weeks 8 on, let's go to weeks 8 to 17, the Bengals went up to 9th in pass rate. So 22nd and 9th. They clearly, I don't know if it's going to be that consistent all year, but if they can be top 12 in pass rate, that'll be a lot better for Joe Burrow. Tom Brady's Tom Brady. You'll get the occasional QB sneak, and you'll probably get 600 passing attempts. Godwin should be back at some point. Yes, you lose Antonio Brown, who you mentioned like on a per route basis has been like the most targeted player in the NFL the last year and a half. But Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Russell Gage, I don't know if Gronk's coming back. Brady should still be able to flirt with 40 touchdowns or whatever and do what Brady does. Jalen Hurts, though, extremely polarizing player in fantasy. I don't know if there's anything not to like about Jalen Hurts. And that was before A.J. Brown got there. Like, the only thing you could have said was, after Devonta Smith and Dallas Goedert, they don't really have any reliable receivers. Now you have one of the best yak receivers in the NFL in A.J. Brown, an ascending talent in Devonta Smith, a top 7-8 tight end in Dallas Goedert, and still a really good offensive line. And oh, by the way, Jalen Hurts, I don't know if it's going to be as sustainable. 13 carries inside the 5 last year. That was more than Josh Allen, more than any other quarterback. His weekly floor is already high, and if A.J. Brown can unlock this passing game, we talked about it kind of last week. Would I be stunned if Jalen Hurts was the quarterback one this year? I don't think I would.
Guess who was the quarterback one weeks 1 through 11 last year?
Probably Gardner Minshew, right?
It was Hurts. Yeah, it was Jalen Hurts. He struggled a little. He got hurt and then didn't finish the season strong. He had a huge spike week against Washington.
Do you know what week he got hurt? I can't remember which week he got hurt.
I think it was against the Giants in week 12, and then he missed the beginning of the fantasy playoffs.
He missed the Jets game and Minshew played.
And then there was a bye week. Sorry. I think he missed the fantasy playoffs because of a bye week. The NFL, my God, scheduled bye players on week 14. That's what happened. He missed a game.
Mm-hmm. He missed the Jets game. That was the Minshew game, yeah.
Yep. And then there was the bye week. And then he came back in week 15 and destroyed Washington. And then he was kind of mediocre.
Yeah, he had
week 16, 17.
He had double-digit rushing attempts in 6 games. But he also had 8.
His floor was 7. And even with 7, he was rushing for 60, 70 yards. Yeah. And he had 4 games with multiple rushing touchdowns. So that weekly upside was just off the charts. So yeah, I mean, there's the stat. You said it wouldn't surprise you if he was the overall QB1. He was up until week 11 last year.
And that's not a small sample, you know, 11 weeks.
It's not. And he added AJ Brown, one of the best wide receivers in the league. I think it's so funny that it was like, are the Eagles going to stick with Hurts? Are the Eagles going to stick with Hurts? And I think that's still a question long term.
Yeah, they're in a great spot because like they've clearly made an effort to put Hurts in a great position to succeed. And if for whatever reason he's not the answer, you still have your first rounders next year to go and get a quarterback. So
yep.
I think he's going to be good. I think he's going to be like, again, the Eagles should win this division. I think the way Dallas kind of took a step back, the Hurts hype is high. Like, I think it's going to be like, it's probably going to be more difficult to draft him than Brady, Burrow, just because, especially Brady, like everybody's bored of Tom Brady at this point. but like that, as much as I like kind of moved down AJ Brown and Devonta Smith after
the
trade,
Bills fan.
Listen, I actually love Brady now that he's not a Bill or a Patriot because he's so funny on social media and everything. But like, I moved Devonta Smith down and AJ Brown down after the trade. But like, they are going to just unlock this offense together because Devonta Smith is going to be much better near two anyway. So a lot to like with Jalen Hurts. Let's move on to the next tier. What about tier four, right?
Yeah. So my tier four is a smaller tier. And this is kind of where I get to the end of the fantasy QB1s. So my tier here is Matthew Stafford, Russell Wilson, and Aaron Rodgers. What about you?
Yeah, I have Stafford, Wilson, Rodgers as well, but I also have Dak in this tier because I didn't have him in tier three.
Yep.
So this is pretty much where, like, Stafford, not going to run much, but he's, you know, like, loses Robert Woods, but gets Allen Robinson. We still don't know if Odell Beckham's going to be back. Very possible he is, and they'll get him back whenever he's fully healthy. I think Stafford is going to be like, I think most weeks you'll get Stafford to finish as like the QB 10 to 12. You'll get a couple like QB 2 weeks, but he's just going to be really solid all year long. We talked about Dak and then Russell Wilson. We've talked about Russell Wilson, the Broncos passing game, a ton on this pod already. I don't know if we need to, like, the only concern I have is the passing volume, right? Denver super run heavy. But again, you're in that same division where you could see shootouts against the Chargers and the Raiders and the Chiefs. And I think there's a chance they could be at some point. Right now they're not better, but like Sutton, Judy, they could be the next Metcalf, Lockett. And we've talked about comparables with the offense. I think Wilson, what it comes down to is how much does Denver increase their passing rate this year? And is, because Wilson's rushing numbers have taken a dip the last couple years too. And then Rodgers, obviously, the obvious question. He's amazing. We've seen him in stretches without Devontae Adams, and he's still been good. But you have a lot of question marks now. Christian Watson, awesome talent. A lot of question marks. Same with Romeo Dubs. You know, you have Alan Lazard as your most trustworthy number one. You know, Sammy Watkins is like, and I think they're going to be run heavy. Their defense is still really good. So we talk, it's been like 2 years in a row too now. It's like Rodgers, is he no longer an elite fantasy quarterback? And then he just has these insanely efficient seasons where he throws for like 35 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. Devontae Adams, man, he just
feels like such a huge loss.
It's the best duo we've seen in the NFL for the last 10 years. Like, it's just been pitch and catch, and it's not going to be the same.
I think I would say Mahomes, Tyreek, but yeah, I mean,
I'll take Adams, Rodgers.
I think you could argue Adams, Rodgers. But okay, here's my take on this tier. Rodgers is in here for the sole fact that he's Aaron Rodgers. If this was any other quarterback except for like Tom Brady, he would not be in tier four because the situation is just so bad and there's so much potential for Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon to run for like a combined 20 plus touchdouns. All of those 1-2-3 yard automatic touchdowns to Devontae Adams are gone now, right? Unless Christian Watson morphs instantly into an Adams like player at the goal line, which just feels really unreasonable to expect during his rookie year. So Rodgers, it's like a respect placement to put him here. But I would not love him as my fantasy QB one. I think if I'm getting to this tier and I'm looking towards the end of my fantasy QB ones, at this point, I probably just want to start streaming quarterbacks rather than feeling like I have to play Aaron Rodgers every week. I could 100% regret saying those words again, cause he's Aaron Rodgers, but to me, it's just a respect thing putting him here because we know what he's capable of. Stafford, I still think OBJ re-signs with the Rams. And I would argue that Allen Robinson is an upgrade over Robert Woods anyway, and maybe even an upgrade over Odell. I don't know if that's risky to say after how horrible Robinson was last year, but Robinson is so good at football.
Robinson, like, in my opinion,
I am convinced he was
just
he's
checked
so good.
Out. He was just checked out last year. I really think he was just checked out.
I like that explanation. That's the explanation I'm going to go with too.
It's not like he's old or anything.
No. And we know he's good. I am so excited to see him play with the Rams. Stafford led the NFL. Sorry, excuse me. He did not. He was third in the NFL in air yards last year. Do you think we see that number increase, or do you think we see that decrease with Cam Akers likely healthy the whole year?
I think you said he was third. I don't think he's going to be third again.
Tom Brady was first by like a mile. And then Josh Allen, and then Stafford.
I mean, a lot of those went to Cooper Kupp, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So if we expect natural regression from Kupp, it's not like Kupp was catching 3 yards at 3 yard outs and making crazy plays. He was doing it every which way. Yeah. But Stafford's always been he's always been like among the league leaders in ADOT and everything. But that was also with Detroit where they had, you know, that was a super pass heavy team that they took a lot of shots. I think he could easily be like top 10. I don't know about third, though.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think we see a slight dip there, but I guess that also depends on how well Robinson acclimates. And then for Wilson, yeah, we talk about Wilson and the Broncos offense all the time. But one interesting stat I found digging through the FTN Fantasy Advanced Passing Stat Tools is that Wilson led the NFL among quarterbacks in average depth of target last year. He averaged nearly 10 yards per target, which is a really high number. For a reference point, Josh Allen was at 8.2. So Wilson being all the way up at 9.9 is a significant ADOT, which I actually think pairs well with what the Broncos have. So we've said it before. It's just a question of how much do the Broncos actually pass. I think they pass a lot more. I don't think they would have traded for Russ just to not let him cook. So that's kind of my take there. I think Wilson he's fallen out of fantasy favor. And I've written about that in the past. Like he has not been a worthwhile every week starter for fantasy teams, but I am hopeful enough in his new situation, new team, the talent around him, that he can be a player that you draft as your fantasy QB1. And if it doesn't work out, you just end up streaming anyway. Mm-hmm. But he's in that. This is tier four. This is the last tier of players that I feel comfortable drafting as my weekly starter.
Real quick on Rodgers again, he's played 7 games without Devontae Adams since 2019. In those games, he's averaging 292 passing yards.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's pretty insane.
He's still so good.
24 points per game, 2.7 touchdowns per game. And again, it's not like during that time the Green Bay Packers were still loaded at receiver. During that 2019 season where Adams missed 4 games, they had MVS, they had Alan Lazard, they had Geronimo Allison, they had Jimmy Graham, they had Mercedes Lewis. So,
dude, if Rodgers, I mean, maybe we're underestimating Alan Lazard.
Like, I mean, we'll talk about it. I like Lazard. Even with all these additions, Lazard, I have the numbers in front of me because I was writing about him recently. Lazard in the final, I believe it's 5 or 6 games, maybe even less. So right here, Lazard, he was the wide receiver 8 over the final weeks of the season. He averaged a touchdown per game, and that was all with Devontae Adams. I think Adams might have missed the 1 game against the Lions where they sat their starters. or most of the starters. Now, he's not going to finish in that range, but he saw six end zone targets during that five-game span, tied with Adams. It is entirely possible that Alan Lazard doesn't just lead this team in end zone targets, but is like top 12 in the league. It's entirely possible.
I mean, that stat makes me like Rodgers a bit more. 2.7 touchdowns per game without
Lazard
Adams.
Lazard came on down the stretch like as the trustworthy receiver for Rodgers. He's not even in the same stratosphere as Davante Adams. And I think we're going to see a lot more like 198 and like two touchdown games from Rodgers instead of like 330 and four. But I think Rodgers is like, it's very possible he becomes like, we get to the point in midseason, we're like, wow, we really just thought Rodgers would be bad at football all of a sudden. And he's like the quarterback seven. Like
QB six last year.
Yeah. My personal opinion, Tom Brady's the GOAT, but the most gifted thrower of the football I've ever seen is Aaron Rodgers. So it'll be interesting to see what he does without Adams. And obviously, if the rookies and everybody they added can come in right away, then Rodgers can still be really good. So we will see. This ties perfectly into tier five. If Jimmy Garoppolo were traded tomorrow, would Trey Lance be in tier four or even higher? Because Trey Lance kicks off tier five for you, as he should, does for me too. You have what? Lance, Carr, Fields, and Cousins?
Yep.
This is where it gets kind of easier because that's the same exact tier five for me. And it's even easier when like there's no rookie quarterbacks we're going to be drafting in one quarterback redraft leagues most likely. So the rest of these tiers become pretty easy. But Trey Lance, let's start with him. I think he's one of the three most polarizing quarterbacks in fantasy right now, too, because everybody wants him to be the unquestioned starter. We want that upside, but Jimmy Garoppolo is still on the roster, and Jimmy Garoppolo could start week one.
Yeah, that's the big thing. You asked the hypothetical, if Garoppolo is traded tomorrow, what do I do with Lance? I actually still just keep him in this tier five group, but he probably becomes my favorite quarterback to target during drafts.
He will go ahead of every quarterback in tier four in drafts. Guaranteed.
Well, then I guess I would be.
He will be drafted ahead of Stafford, Wilson, Rodgers without even like.
You're 100% right.
And that's not wrong. I'm just saying like everybody's so excited about him. And between the fact that they're so excited about him, he brings you fantasy points with his mobility, and the fact that Stafford, Wilson, and Rodgers are all on the other side of 30 and they've been in the league. It's like, oh, okay. I want the exciting Trey Lance. Like it would be easy. I'm not saying he belongs in tier four or not. He probably will be. He probably would for me.
I think he would be. You're right. I think you're right.
Wish selfishly?
What?
Because I love him. I wish Justin Fields is on San Francisco right now.
Dude, San Francisco
so badly
is loaded with talent. I mean, that team is, that offense is so good with playmakers. But it's a concern for Lance that that Jimmy Garoppolo is sticking around so much.
Especially because they traded up so much to draft him.
I know. Well, I read the theory. Who knows if this is true at all. But I read the theory that Shanahan really wanted Mac Jones. But
there was so much smoke behind that. Everybody's like, is it going to be Mac Jones or is it going to be Trey Lance?
So the theory there is that Shanahan doesn't really like Lance. And when Shanahan doesn't really like a player,
we've seen it.
It's extremely obvious, like Trey Sermon.
Yep.
Who was it? At the beginning of the year.
Dante Pettis.
Yeah. I mean, gosh, I'm glad Ayuk did not end up going down that path completely. But at the beginning of the year, he was. So that's the theory. Who knows if there's any truth to it? I don't think I saw that from any like legitimate source. But if you like to put on a tinfoil hat and wonder why the heck Jimmy Garoppolo is still in the 49ers, there you go.
Let's talk about the upside of Trey Lance, though. There was a stretch of games, right? He played in relief, I believe, week four against Seattle, started week five against Arizona, and then started week 17 against Houston. In those games, again, keep in mind the Seattle game was like a half of football, 20 and a half fantasy points. The Arizona game was just under 16. The Houston game in week 17 was just over 20 fantasy points per game. Massive floor. He had 16 and 8 rushing attempts in those games. The 16 against Arizona, 11 of them were designed. So it was a huge part of their offense. We saw that when he was on the field at quarterback, a huge part of their offense was designing runs for Trey Lance. And like, I don't even know if it matters if you think he's a great quarterback, because in the system, you're just getting the ball out to Debo and Ayuk and Kittle and letting them make plays anyway.
It doesn't matter. You're 100% right. Like, those three players are good enough to make any quarterback productive. And then the real reason we're drafting Lance is exactly what you mentioned. That rushing ability. 16 rushing attempts is absurd. Like, obviously that wouldn't happen every single week, but that was his first full game as a starter. He had 89 rushing yards. His passing production did suffer that game, though. He only had 192 passing yards and no touchdowns. But the other two games, he did have two passing touchdowns in each of the other two games. And you mentioned that Seattle game, that was only in one half of football. So that's not to say that his passing would just be completely bunk. We just don't have a large enough sample size, to be completely honest, to know exactly what would happen. But we do have enough of a sample size to know that he would probably be a pretty safe bet for at least 20 fantasy points every week.
Yeah, again, keep in mind the Seattle game, he only played a half. So in those three games I mentioned, he averaged 18 fantasy points per game. He totaled 31 rushing attempts, and 19 of those 31 were designed. 0.64 fantasy points per dropback, which is like what Lamar's been averaging for his career, which is absurdly high. Again, he's probably not going to average that, but it just shows what kind of ceiling and floor combination he has. And oh, by the way, Debo Samuel, as long as he's there, Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle, one of the best trios at pass catcher in the league again. So it's like, we'll keep an eye on it, obviously. If for whatever reason Garoppolo is not there, or we get the word that Trey Lance is starting, he will probably skyrocket.
He'll shoot up draft boards for sure.
Yeah, and I can't argue it. There are some interesting quarterbacks in this tier, though, right? I mean, Kirk Cousins, you talked about. You took him in the mock draft last week. You love Kirk Cousins. And I'm warming up on him, too, because he's always been an underrated fantasy quarterback. You still have Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen and Dalvin Cook. And Irv Smith will be back. And a new regime, Kevin O'Connell, they could throw the ball a little bit more. And that would be great for Kirk Cousins. And that would be maybe wide receiver one type status for Justin Jefferson.
Dude, Cousins is just consistently good. Since Justin Jefferson entered the league, Cousins has averaged over 22 fantasy points per game. And he's been a fantasy quarterback one in over half of his games. So if you're like in this first tier of streaming quarterback options, Cousins is a guy that you can just like plug and play basically every single week. And you really only have to replace him when the matchup is just horrendous or like the weather is really bad or something like that. But yeah, Justin Jefferson's a beast. Jefferson was the only wide receiver that had over 2,000 air yards last year. I know I've talked about Cousins before, but over 22 points per game for a guy that you don't have to spend any draft capital on. Yeah, sign me up.
Derek Carr threw for a ton of yards last season. I think a lot of that is very not fluky, but like he played a bunch of overtimes too, which helped, but still threw for a lot of yards last season. Hunter Renfro broke out. Darren Waller is going to be back and healthy. Oh, and they added the best receiver in the NFL.
Yeah. The only reason I have Carr in this tier is because they added Devontae Adams. I just think of Carr as like a worse version of Cousins for fantasy. And maybe I'm not being fair enough to him now that he has Devontae Adams. But I would 100 times out of 100 still take Cousins over Carr. Maybe I'm wrong about that, though. I mean,
I don't know if you're wrong or not, but I think most people probably would push Carr ahead of Cousins. And I think they're both very close. I'd be perfectly fine. You know, I don't even want to say streaming. I think if I just completely punted at quarterback and missed out on like the difference makers, I'd be fine playing Cousins or Carr most weeks. I really would.
I mean, if people are drafting Derek Carr because of Devontae Adams, then they should 100% be drafting Kirk Cousins because of Justin Jefferson. I mean, I think Jefferson's better than Adams. Maybe that's a hot take, but I don't think so.
It's probably lukewarm. I personally still think Adams is the best receiver in the league, even after what Cooper Kupp did, but I mean, we'll see. His numbers are definitely going to take a hit at some capacity because he's not going to see a 33% target share. But, Carr threw for 4,800 yards, but only had 23 touchdowns. So you add Adams, who's like elite, elite when it comes to scoring touchdowns, like that can help push Carr over to like 32, 33 touchdowns. And if he, because Carr's been like the first couple years of his career, he was not throwing the ball down the field, but like last 2 years, especially last year, he was taking shots down the field. And now you have, they were, you know, I talk about this a lot, but they were doing bracket coverage against Darren Waller. And that's why Renfro just kind of ate up in the middle of the field.
Yeah.
Like you can't do that now.
It is true. Carr was chucking it a lot last year. He was fourth in total air yards, and he was actually neck and neck with Kirk Cousins in average depth of target. Cousins averaged 8.15, and Derek Carr was at 8.13, which are both in the top 10. So, I mean, these are the two. So in this tier, we have Trey Lance, Justin Fields, who are the upside shots.
And then Chicago.
You have Carr and Cousins, who are the best streaming options and or potential every week players. I just think of Cousins more of as an every week player than Carr. Maybe I'm underestimating Carr with Adams, though. So completely fair to call me out on that. It's just the way I view it.
You know what I love doing, potentially? If you take Carr or Cousins, right, and you worry about the ceiling or the floor, either one, really, you can still draft Justin Fields and just chase the upside because it's still there. Like I hated what they did during the draft, and I wish they had another receiver opposite Darnell Mooney, because I love Darnell Mooney, but he should be maybe your three at best. Like if you have a really good one, he's a fine two. But like Fields, we know he's going to add some fantasy points rushing, but like you look at last year, he had the 13th best adjusted completion percentage on deep passes at 44.2%. And the last time we talked about Field, you mentioned his expected fantasy points. Like, what is it? His expected passing touchdowns was 14, but he only threw 7.
Yeah.
Pretty unlucky in that department. I'm still a huge believer in Justin Fields, so like you're gonna find me drafting Fields and stacking him with Mooney and Cole Kmet in underdogs, just like I did last year. But like it's kind of a good, like if you miss out or wait on quarterback, like take the weekly floor and safety with Cousins or Carr, and you can take Fields later on, and you know you'll there's still upside there. I just, like I said, if he played for the 49ers, I'd be ranking him like aggressively high. Like he would be so high in my rankings.
No, I love it. It's what a disappointing free agency offseason or draft for the Bears.
Like the only receiver they were linked to, and Grant, looking at their receiving group right now, I would love if they had this player. But like the only wide receiver during free agency they were really linked to was Marquez Valdes-Scantling. And again, like he's not even a top 30-ish receiver in the NFL, but right now I would love him on the Bears.
Yeah, I'll hunt him. Me too.
Super frustrating.
It does suck.
All right, so we don't really need to go through the tiers anymore because you're probably not starting anybody else we mentioned in a traditional one quarterback league, but there are players that can take a step up, right? We didn't even get to most of the second-year quarterbacks, right? Trevor Lawrence in year two, they added Brandon Scherff to the offensive line. They brought in Christian Kirk. You still have decent – they're going to get Travis Etienne. And we talk about, you know, Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow and everything. They're not going to be anywhere close, but – Trevor Lawrence played with Etienne in college and didn't get to last year. So that's kind of frustrating, but Etienne will be back. Tua probably would be the most popular quarterback to maybe take a step forward. I don't see where he's going to be like top 7 or 10. Maybe I think his upside's like 13. But anybody that stands out, I know you have a lot of quarterbacks listed in tiers 6, 7, and then your tier 8 is every other quarterback that's not in tier 6 and 7 or higher. So whoever stands out to you, Tua, Lawrence, Matt Ryan, Jameis Winston's a little interesting now with Jarvis Landry, Michael Thomas, Chris Olave.
Yeah. I mean, the reason I have these players, so my tier 6 is Tua, Trevor Lawrence, Matt Ryan, Jameis Winston, Ryan Tannehill. My tier 7 is Zach Wilson, Jared Goff, and then my tier 8 is every other quarterback. So the reason I have these quarterbacks listed is because they interest me to some degree. Tua, because he has Tyreek Hill, he has Jalen Waddle. He has Chase Edmonds, who I still think is an excellent receiving back. Mike Gesicki is really good. Like, it's just a good supporting cast for Tua. Did you see like the Dolphins hype video?
Yeah. When they, like, fantasy Twitter had fun with that. I just didn't think it was even remotely relevant, I guess is the best way to put it. But, you know, everybody's going to have fun with it.
Oh, yeah. I had fun with it. Just when the best hype video you can come up with is underthrow, is an underthrow. You know you're going to get roasted. Trevor Lawrence, extremely talented college prospect, put in an absolute dumpster fire of a situation. But the hope is that his talent helps rise the entire organization still. Matt Ryan, I think, could become a tier five quarterback for me, actually, depending on if they sign another wide receiver.
They won't. They have money every year and they don't do anything. They didn't address any of the free agent receivers when free agency was happening. So I would like Julio there, but
I know.
I mean, Julio would be the one, right? Matt Ryan being there. He would be the one that would obviously make sense.
If Julio goes there, Matt Ryan becomes in the tier five with me, up there with Derek Carr and that's Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, like I love Michael Pittman. I think he'll be awesome this season. But like Alec Pierce, rookie, you have to kind of hope that you get a healthy season from Paris Campbell. They do have two interesting tight ends now with Mo Alie-Cox and I'm blank on the rookie's name. But yeah, like just not enough there for Matt Ryan to be feel great about it.
Yeah, and then my tier seven, I have Zach Wilson and Jared Goff. And I don't think either of those players turns into every week starters.
Again, top another team. Players. Put Justin Fields on the Lions and I'll move him up. That team's got some good pass catchers.
Yeah, I mean, that's anybody. That's exactly why I have Jared Goff even like listed here. They just, I can't believe I am like, have become like a Lions stan on this podcast, but I think they have like an actually good team.
Look at their team up and down. Their holes right now are, you know, quarterback, they don't have a long-term answer. Like, Goff is fine. Their defense, the secondary needs some work, and they obviously need help at the pass. Like, their entire defense could use work. That's obviously why they're not going to make a run. But everywhere else, they have a top-five offensive line. Jameson Williams, Amon-Ra, Hockenson, Swift, DJ Chark. That's probably a top-15 group of skilled players.
It is. They have a good offense, and I actually am... I actually think Jared Goff will become a weekly streamer. I really do.
I know a lot of smart people are betting the Lions to, you know, as like long shot bets to win the division and win like 8 to 9 games. Like played hard last year, every game they added a lot more talent. I mean, you add Aiden Hutchinson, you add players on the defense and you obviously add field stretchers and Jameson Williams. Yeah. And I'm excited to watch them. Like they're going to be
all right. I don't feel as crazy. I don't feel as crazy. I mean, I feel I've said it on the podcast every week.
One of my best friends is a Lions fan, and like he's been talking to me. He's like, I think we could win six games. I'm like, six games? I'm like, I think you could win more if things go right. You played tough every game almost last season.
Yeah.
All right, Jared Goff, MVP bet.
I wonder what the odds are, honestly.
Fair, very low.
And then Zach Wilson, again, I just love what the Jets did around him. Yeah. So the potential's there. So those two guys are just players. I don't think you have to draft, or obviously maybe in Superflex you can draft them as your QB2, but just players to keep an eye on as potential streaming options if that's the route you take.
The last player I'll mention, and he has to be back for week one, I'm a little intrigued by Jameis Winston. He was much better last season. Like, he took care of the football. You have Michael Thomas hopefully back. You have Chris Olave. Now you have Jarvis Landry. You have Alvin Kamara out of the backfield. The offensive line is not as good, but it's still not really a weakness. The only question for the first time, or maybe I guess the second time in his career, is volume. Jameis only averaged 23 passing attempts per game. The Saints were extremely run heavy. Remember the first half of the season where we saw a bunch of like 25 carry games from Alvin Kamara, which we just hadn't seen because he was always in that like 16 carry or, you know, maybe even less in like 7 catch games. Maybe their defense is still pretty good. But Jameis is going to have some quarterback 1 weeks. Maybe not the week 1 he had in Green Bay where he threw like 16 passes and had 5 touchdowns. But if Thomas is good to go, like Thomas, Olave, Landry, they're going to get open at will. So Jameis is kind of interesting too in that.
I have a dynasty league where you give contracts to players. It's kind of fun.
That's
like,
cool.
You have to like you give rookie contracts and then you can give vet contracts. And I drafted Jameis last year on a 1-year rookie contract. And now I have to make the decision if I give him a vet contract or not. And I think I'll probably give him like a 1 or 2 year contract. Cause I agree with you. I think he has the potential to be relevant.
Anybody else we haven't, like Mac Jones? No, not really. Somebody like Superflex is awesome.
I considered Mac Jones.
Carson Wentz.
Yeah. Just like maybe in like some DFS builds, but not players that I am going to spend any draft capital on.
Yeah, I think we pretty much covered it at quarterback. I think there's a lot, obviously, like there always is, but I think, I mean, you wrote the article, so I'll make sure everybody goes and reads it. It's a perfect time to read it, but like among players we think could finish as the quarterback one, I mean, how many do you think there are? There's Josh, there's Lamar, there's Hurts. I think, I wouldn't be shocked if Mahomes did still.
Yep, I wrote, I put Mahomes in tier two as potential to do it. I probably wasn't high enough on Justin Herbert looking back through the article, but I can, let me count how many players I had here real quick. 15. I put 15 quarterbacks as potential to finish as overall QB1.
I mean, that's tell you deep. The position's deep. Yeah.
Yeah.
15. So if you want to go find out the 15, go read Tyler's article. Speaking of articles, content-wise at FTN Fantasy, we have a ton coming up. I mean, you're doing the series with Larky, right? How many teams are you into right now?
I just wrote up the Houston Texans with Larky, which, spoiler alert, is a wasteland. So that's the third team we've written up. And starting this week for the next month and a half, we're going to do three teams a week. And we're doing it in reverse draft order. So we started with the worst teams and we're building up to the best teams.
Awesome. Make sure you check that out. I will have, I've been doing the Fantasy Crossroads series where I've been debating two players ranked closely to each other.
I love that series.
Thank you. First one was Devontae Adams and Tyreek Hill. Last week's was DeAndre Swift and Javonte Williams, which the comments when I tweeted it, it was pretty consensus who they liked, which I think I know why after a certain player re-signed with a certain team. But and then I think this week is going to be tight end. I think it's going to be Dalton Schultz and TJ Hockenson, I believe. I'm pretty sure it's going to be tight end. So check that out, and as well as all the great content, FTN Fantasy, FTN Daily, and FTN Bets. Tyler, this was fun. I'm excited for running back because obviously, you know, you have to start multiple running backs. So we're going to talk about a lot of running backs this time next week.
Heck yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Have a great week, everybody. Again, check out all the content. Have a fantastic week. And by the way, if you're into fantasy or any sort of basketball, I mean, my goodness, the Dallas Mavericks, I don't know how that happened, but we got four teams left. We got the Eastern Conference and Western Conference Finals. There was a ton of Game 7s. Across the sports landscape this past weekend, and most of them were not great. The hockey games were pretty good, but the basketball games, I mean, could have been better. But all in all, glad to have sports. Great time for sports. Great time to be a sports fan, and a great time to sign up at FTN Fantasy, FTN Daily, and FTN Bets. For Tyler, I'm Adam. Thanks as always. We'll see you guys next time.
Thanks for listening to the FTN Datacast. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe. And follow the hosts on Twitter at APfeiffer24 and at LochnerNFL.